there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, simply go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com. It's the way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Boom, what up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Broadcast live from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way tire buying should be. So I thought, and I still think, that the Lakers can be more competitive in this series with the Nuggets than they were last year. Welcome in here to the Doug Gottlieb Show on a Monday, where we got a lot of hoop to talk about. We have finally arrived in NFL draft week, and what exactly the Commanders were doing, bringing in four top quarterback prospects at the same time. But let's start with the Lakers, because what happens is, you know, fatigue makes cowards of us all, right? It just does. Fatigue makes cowards of us all, makes mortals of immortals, and the Lakers, especially Anthony Davis and LeBron James, looked completely gassed in the fourth quarter. LeBron only took two shots in 9 minutes in the fourth quarter, and they got, I don't want to say blown out, because it was a relatively respectable final score, but it wasn't really that close. And look, I'll credit the Lakers. They knew they had a D'Angelo problem last year, but they also re-signed D'Angelo, which they didn't have to. And though they brought in Gabe Vincent, he's never been healthy for him, so they didn't have him the other night. But the point was that my entire spiel, if you will, and the good news is that Jason Stewart was here last year as my producer, and of course Dan Beyer was here last year as part of the show, is last year we get done watching this playoff series, and I was like, look, I don't know why you bring back D'Angelo Russell. If the goal is to beat the Nuggets, you can't beat the Nuggets with D'Angelo Russell on the floor. He's just not effective enough. Not effective enough. So... he's not a good enough defender. He's soft on the boards. And whatever happens in terms of his confidence and scoring, it seems to go away at times against the Nuggets. Missed a couple of layups. And he's not the only reason they lost. Like, LeBron wasn't very good either. He had seven turnovers. And LeBron, you know, just obviously fatigued right before our eyes. But it's one of those deals where if you're honest with yourself, no matter how much you think the Lakers are better this year because they figured out a way to use Rui in the series as it went on and figured out how to guard them. Like, if you can't play your starting point guard, and, oh yeah, by the way, your backup point guard's essentially LeBron and he's too tired to do it in the fourth quarter, like, what? You're screwed. You're screwed. Here's Darvin Ham, head coach of the Lakers, summing up D'Angelo Russell's performance in game one.
D'Lo is a huge reason why we're here in the first place. I'm not going to bail out on my player just because he's missing the shots that he normally makes. Those same shots were going in against New Orleans and other teams that he's played in, games he's played in to help us get to this point. It wasn't his night. You know, shooters are going to have nights like that. But I want him to remain aggressive. That was a good thing I saw. He remained aggressive. His energy remained great. He remained positive. And we'll go back and try to get better from the film and try to have a better performance game, too.
All right. I mean, that sounds, that's what you have to say as a coach. But internally, you sit there and go like, all right, am I taking all the games or am I taking the fact that he doesn't play well against Nuggets? This is not a good matchup for him. Here's LeBron on the mindset of his team.
Given his team's recent history with Denver, how do you fight the feeling of here we go again?
For me? Or are you talking about, that doesn't matter to me. I don't ever get into a here we go again mindset. You know, it's one game. They protected their home court. We have another opportunity on Monday to come back and be better. We know how challenging it's going to be. We know how difficult this opponent is and how great they are. So that's all a part of the game. You start doubting you. I don't get into the doubt mindset. That's not me. I'm the wrong guy to ask.
It's fine, but it does feel like that in watching it, and it feels like if they don't win tonight, there can be that feeling of inevitability. Inevitability. So, yeah, I actually really understand that one. I understand the question. Even if LeBron doesn't feel that himself, I think everybody else watching does, and it's like, man, we got them. We got them down 10, and their bench isn't as good, and they boat raced us anyway. Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Here's James Worthy, big game James, Hall of Famer, talking about Jokic, on the other hand.
He's Magic and Kareem on the floor at the same time.
Yeah.
He's a guard. He makes great decisions, hell of a passer. And then when he wants to be Kareem, he goes down and dominates. So, he's a special player that does a lot of things, and your antennas have to be up.
Antennas have to be up. He's amazing. And you'll get all different sorts of... What was the piece you sent me there, Jay Stu, on... who was the two comedians that were talking on one of the ESPN alternative broadcasts? I think it was Cedric the Entertainer, and who was the other comedian?
Huh. No, I think that was your other producer who sent you that. I that doesn't sound familiar. I don't find Cedric the Entertainer funny. In fact, I've often asked people, who is Cedric entertaining?
I know Cedric. I actually like him as a good dude. Wait, you didn't send me that today? Where did I get that today? I got several different...
Probably Adam Klug or Ryan Music.
Was not Klug. Who sent it to me? I'm trying to see where it was, where it was... We were talking about it. Anyway, I'll find it. I'll send it to you. People are having a tough time with Jokic. I was just going like, yeah, he's really that good. He's really that dominant. He's really that awkward. And yet super effective. It's almost as if what they saw last year, they don't actually believe it to be true. Isn't that a weird thing? Like Steph... When, you know, he's had his magical moments. To this day, if you watch Steph, every time he shoots the ball, you're convinced it's going in and not missing it. Whereas we're still not there yet with Jokic. We're still like, I can't believe how good this guy is and how big and awkward and funky he is and yet how effective he is. Maybe here's what I'm saying. Our mindset, I do think that all of these things are very, it's a Jokic game. It feels normal to him. But I will tell you, I think... there's a lot of people that still are doubting what they're seeing, or they went from curious to amused to impressed to, yeah, I don't know. Can he keep doing this? It seems so slow and so easy to time and so easy to figure out, and yet nobody can figure it out. By am I making sense when you watch those games? And you watch how Jokic moves and the things he does. I don't know. I have given into the, I haven't seen anybody like him. And man, is he good. And he does just so much funky, weird, but effective stuff. But I do think there's lots of people that because of how it can look and it can be a little clunky and he has just that awkwardness to it, that there's a lot of people still like, yeah, I don't really know if he's as good as we say he's as good as we say he is.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Or maybe they just don't watch a lot of Nuggets games because of him being a center.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Wasn't a great weekend of NBA hoop, right? And it had the weekend.
It's not good at all.
I mean, it had the one cool thing was Lillard coming out and just completely taking over in the first half.
Didn't
like that
in
was
the second half. Yeah.
Didn't score 35 at the half? Doesn't score in the second half.
Yeah.
But the game was over at the half, and Lillard was the reason why. Like that was, you're like, man, how are they going to look without him? And I thought that Damian Lillard would be better without Giannis because he's kind of used to being a bit of a one-man show. And there's a lot of radio to it, a lot of to what we see in basketball. And here's what I mean. Radio shows are usually one guy shows or one guy with, you know, the Dan style where you have one guy and you have a bunch of people. Or you have a two-person show and they got to go back and forth. And what happens is we all, as hosts, we get pigeonholed into you can only do it with one way or the other, which is my brain doesn't work that way. I like doing different styles of it. I like when we do Dan Patrick. It's Dan and I doing it, Dan Beyer and I doing it together. I enjoy that. This show is kind of wired different where Dan's a very big part of the show. So too is maybe more. He wants to be more than he is. I'm kidding. Sam and Jason. But there are people that you can't do I'll give you an example. Mike Golic was as good a number two as you're ever going to find. He knew how to laugh at the right jokes. He knew how to bring, you know, analysis at the right time. He knew how to play off of you. That's why Mike and Mike was so good, because they had their chairs. Greeny was the driver and he was the reactor, and it just worked for a long time. What inevitably happens, though, is the guy sitting in that number two chair wants to drive or wants to do his own show. And the guy doing is, you know, leading the show is like, well, what do I need this guy for? Those things are hard, but you're better off in your role. You know, there will be people for me like, well, when in a two person show, like just tell me the role beforehand and I can do it. I can change my brain to how much I interact. If you're two chair, you don't have to do much of the reads either. That part's fun. You know, Cowherd, I know he's had various co-hosts, but they're really more update people. But he's a solo act. Now, he's done the two-person show in Sports Nation when he's a reactor. But that's what Damian Lillard is. He's been a solo host. It's been his show, his team for like a decade. And trying to play with somebody else's team, like, that's just hard to do. It's just really hard to do. So I respect people who can do, you know, Beyer, for example, can do a solo show, can do the update thing, can be a co-host. He can even make fries and nuggets during the break, and he's still good, like can do it all. But a lot of people don't have that versatility. They just can do one thing and one thing only. I'm a solo host. I'm an update person. I'm a two-person show. I'm a reactor. I'm a driver, whatever. And that's what they do. And I think that at some point in time, we get to this place of that's who I am. It's hard to take a secondary role.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
It's the Gottlieb Show. You know what they say about people who go to Harvard, right? How do you know they went to Harvard? Sam, you know this? How do you know if a guy went to Harvard?
Because they'll tell you.
Because he will tell you. Or he's wearing a Harvard sweatshirt, you know, one of those deals. By the way, my dad, my late father held a master's degree from Columbia. That's disgusting. What's happening there is disgusting. It's disgusting. And it's just a really, really sad time, a sign of our inability to actually educate people on what's really at play. And we create bad actors out of people who actually really have, I think, good hearts. I think a lot of these trust fund kids that take on these causes that protest with other people who actually do have family members affected, but you're like, what are you doing? Like, you don't fit this. This is not really your fight. They're actually people who want to do good. They're just they've taken the wrong, was the blue or the red pill, whichever one has sent them down a vortex. But that's gross. The whole thing's gross. Michael Lombardi is going to join us upcoming in about 5 minutes. Of course, he's been a Super Bowl winning executive in several different front offices. We'll get his thoughts on getting ready for the upcoming NFL draft. Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick. He was on the Pivot podcast. Take a listen to what he said about his year at Oklahoma.
So your pro day wasn't about that. It was about your feet. It was showing that you could throw.
It was going back to the trolling kind of smart ass me, because everybody wants to. If you go look at the stats, and I have a screenshot of it. If you go look at the stats, and on average, I am the most dead center even dude for scrambling and throwing in the pocket. It's just, I make more highlights. And so that's what they show. But dead even stat of scramble to pocket, I am the most dead even on the farthest end of the spectrum from anybody else. As we know, X and Y axis, I am the farthest from all of them in every single way. And so to all the people, I can do anything and everything as I want and as my team needs. And whatever it takes to win a game. And so that's that.
There's a line there. You have to be supremely confident. You have to be prepared, you know, and I get what he's saying. He's like, look, I have the reputation of just trying to play hero ball and run around and make plays. And the stats actually tell you something different. If you actually watch, it's different, but the delivery is, the delivery is more than a confident fella, right? That's fair. And I understand that a lot of these people who are commenting on it don't have all the information or don't know what they're talking about. And it can become tiresome and tedious to have to point out things it's very easy to pull up these stats. I get that. But it is one of those, like, let's be careful there a little bit, you know? I can do any and everything. Like, yeah, let's... may not be how it may not have landed the way you thought it would land. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Lombardi Line is available on VEASAN. It's excellent. His books are incredible as well. And we're just on a busy week like this. Nobody better to have on than Michael Lombardi. Of course, was a 3-time Super Bowl champion as a top executive in several different franchises. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate Michael joining us here on Draft Week here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. In the litany of great quarterback prospects, where's Caleb Williams?
I think Caleb has got a lot of talent. I think there are some concerns. I think the concerns are, you know, how he handles the being the face of the franchise, being the guy that, you know, has to execute in critical times and make the plays, and how he handles coaching, adaptability to coaching, all those things. I don't think this is generational, Doug. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a good player, but I think we tend to toss around generational as if it's common. I mean, we were tossing around generational at the Trevor Lawrence draft, and 4 of the 5 players picked in that draft all have now gone for Saturday picks. I mean, it's a Saturday in the Park draft. It's not even a generational draft. And the one player who I thought was generational in that draft, Trevor Lawrence, is yet to really show any generational skills in terms of protecting the football, moving an offensive team, and being the kind of player we hoped he would be when he came out, that he was during his collegiate career at Clemson.
It is interesting. Okay, so is a Mahomes comparison, and the Mahomes comparison from this standpoint, Michael, in that there's a ton of talent, but some footwork issues, some decision-making issues just back there, and same offense. Do you see any parallel between he and Mahomes?
I see certainly the talent, but no. I mean, first of all, Caleb's is smaller than Mahomes.
Yeah.
At times, Caleb plays smaller in the pocket. I don't know if his decision-making in terms of being able to the loose plays when the play breaks down. One of the things that gets you with Mahomes is when the second play, you know, the first play you can stop. The second play, Mahomes is always looking to make something spectacular, and he usually does. So, you know, I think this is really unfair for Caleb to have to compare himself. It's kind of what was really unfair about Justin Fields. I mean, the amount of pressure that the worldwide leader put on him to be the MVP in the league was ridiculous. And I think it's unfair to players when we do this, because all of a sudden when we don't live up to our expectations, they're failures when they're really not. And so, you know, you have to temper this. I think Caleb Williams can be a really good player. I think just like Kyler Murray, he's going to have to endear himself to his teammates. He's going to have to prove that he can win the locker room, because you can't ignore. That's one of the salient points about being a great quarterback, is winning the locker room, getting people to buy into you, getting your teammates to believe in you on and off the field, and being selfless. I mean, how would Caleb Williams handle the fact that they shifted from a passing game to a running game to win the Super Bowl after the Christmas Day game? So I think all those come into play.
They absolutely do. Michael Lombardi joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. If you're the Commanders, what do you do assuming Caleb Williams is off the board?
Well, I know Caleb Williams is off the board, so they've been on the clock for a while now.
Right.
What you do is you basically have to have organizational alignment. Because if you look at the reasons why a lot of these quarterbacks fail, it's because there hasn't been organizational alignment. They've drafted a guy with no plan, with no, you know, this is what we're going to, Zach Wilson, we're just going to throw him out there and see what he does, you know. You got to have a specific plan in place for the quarterback and who's coaching the quarterback. And this draft is really obvious about that. I mean, if you watched Michael Penix in Indiana without Caden DeBoer, you didn't like him. If you watched Jaden Daniels at time in Arizona State, you didn't like him. If you watched Bo Nix at Auburn, you didn't like him. Now, Caleb Williams, you liked him in Oklahoma and you liked him at USC, but a lot of this is attached to who's coaching them, what are we asking them to do, and what are we highlighting within the framework of the offense? That's the key component. And I think if you're Washington, you have that opportunity to say, okay, we picked Jaden Daniels. This is what we're going to build the team around. I can't see them picking Drake May, because I think Drake May is going to have to get redshirted for a year.
Why?
I don't think he's ready to play. I think when you watch the North Carolina offense, and I hate to be critical of offensive football, but there was no real rhythm. You saw a lot of potential in Drake May, but there were times where he would take a five-step drop and the receiver's running a different route that doesn't combine itself to the depth of the drop. He's holding the ball too long. You know, he's the best player in the ACC as a freshman, but he's not very good as a sophomore. I think there's a lot of things to work out with him. And look, experience does matter when it comes to playing quarterback. You know, you've got to be able to play, get those reps. And, you know, look, Michael Penix, if he doesn't go to Washington, probably would have been a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, I'm interested in Penix. You know, now we're hearing like high first. And, you know, going into the national championship game in the semifinals, it was more third or fourth round. Where are you on Penix?
Well, I think you got to be really careful. Who made him the third or fourth rounder? See, this is what happens all the time in drafts. You know, all we hear from December to the beginning of April are coming from mock drafters. They're not coming from people that have ever been in the draft room. They're not coming from people that have ever had to build a team. And so then when the teams that are starting to look at the players see that, like, what Michael Penix does and what he did his entire career at Washington, and he did it in Indiana, is throw the ball down the field. Michael Penix could average 8 yards per attempt. That's something Trevor Lawrence has never done in the league. That's something Daniel Jones has never done in the league. You know, you've got to be able to work the ball on the third level with high-level accuracy, which is what Penix has always been able to do. And that's really important. So I think this whole notion he's moving up the board is just a bunch of crap. Because at the end of the day, the people telling you he's moving up the board didn't have him graded right. Right? The people that have expertise in this field, who understand what it takes to play, who's not sitting in the basement eating meatloaf, are basically telling you he does.
You got Brock Bowers, who's probably the best player in the SEC. And obviously, he's a tight end, a great pass-catching tight end. And then you have, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. I think the difference would be that though there may not be another Marvin Harrison Jr., there are a ton of wide receivers in this draft. Whereas tight ends, guys that have become huge, vital pieces of every offense, they're not a lot of Brock Bowers. How do you evaluate Bowers versus all the quarterbacks and versus the other skill position guys?
Well, you got to evaluate him on, does he make it, you know, what does the defense do to him? Okay, so when he's on the field, are they going to go to nickel, and can he separate from a corner? If he's on the field, do they stay in base because he's such a good blocker? The tight end position is, it's a little bit like basketball, where you have to be able to do two things really well and force the opponent to substitute. When the Patriots were really good, when Gronk was going and Hernandez was the H, you know, if you wanted to play nickel to that 12 personnel group, they ran it down your throat. You can still remember Vanta Kane running like crazy. Told Ben, you know, he was Ben Jarvis Green, excuse me, was running like crazy. You know, if you went base to that, you didn't have a matchup for Gronk and you didn't have a matchup for Hernandez. So all this is just really about, how are you handling, and what does he force you to do? If you can't, like Kyle Pitts can't block anybody. So what happens is nobody cares that Kyle Pitts is on the field with a tight end and call him tight end because you're a nickel. You just play nickel to it, and there's no advantage that Atlanta gains from it. Now, if he could block and a linebacker's trying to cover him, watch out. And I think that's kind of what separates, what makes a tight end a unique piece. He's like the horse in the chess game. He can do a lot of different things, but he has to be used correctly and create the right matchup. Bowers certainly is a good player, and they're hard to find guys that could block at the end of the line and separate and win on third down.
It's the knight. It's the knight in chess.
The night. I'm sorry.
Night.
Thank you, Doug.
Listen, I got a little help as well. So don't worry about it. Like we were paying attention, but we're just like, wait, which? Oh, it's the night. It's the night. We're told, man, great offensive line draft. How do you know when you've done this for over 20 years, right? In those meetings, how do you know what you're getting, especially considering, you know, the offenses, you know, aren't as traditional in college football? How do you know what you're getting when you're drafting offensive line?
Well, it's in one position, they have to do something on every play. You know, you could watch a corner, and if the ball's not going on his side, you know, he don't have to do a whole lot. And so it's one position where every play on the tape, you're watching them. You know, and so I think that's where it is. And then a lot of it comes down to toughness. It comes down to the ability to handle the assignments, play through pain, the ability to play the tackle position, because right or left tackle doesn't matter. It's the blind side. It used to be, when I started in the league, you know, 40 years ago, you know, the right end played right end, the left end played left end. Now they find your worst tackle and they put their best rusher. Nick Bosa doesn't just line up at one side. They'll find your worst offensive lineman and exploit them. So, and this draft has really good tackles in it. And when you have a draft that has really good tackles, then, you know, that becomes it's hard to find. Because remember, you should be drafting what you can't pay for in the open market.
Right.
To find offensive tackles in free agency. You can find plenty of running backs in free agency, can't find tackles.
Yeah, you can't find tackles. You can't find quarterbacks generally, right? Like those, the real good ones aren't in free agency, and that's why they're so valued in the draft. Okay, let me ask you about Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's plan, right? Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. How does that land with you?
Well, I mean, they're two completely different quarterbacks, right? I mean, Russell's a guy that everybody wants to let cook, and yet when the play breaks down, typically that's when Russell was at his best. But the problem has been over the last couple of years, Russell hasn't vertically worked the pocket. You know, when he got traded the year from Seattle to Denver, he had the lowest rushing total in his NFL career. You know, and he had the lowest third down conversions running the football, which is something that he always gave them. And so Fields, to me, is more loved by the media, more loved by the worldwide leader than what the NFL. The NFL basically said he was worth a sixth-round pick 2 years from now. Because he, when it comes time to throw the football and the opponent knows you have to throw it, Justin is inconsistent with his throwing. He's won 10 games in his NFL career. And everybody has a boatload of excuses for why he doesn't win. But nobody has excuses for why everybody gives excuses for why Brock Purdy wins. It's kind of interesting how it just separates itself. So I think what they're going to do is they're going to improve their offensive line. And Arthur Smith is going to use Russell Wilson in an offense where it's going to be heavy play action pass, separate the defense, and try to make some chunk plays, but rely on their running game, rely on the play action pass game, much like he did in Atlanta, and execute.
If there's one guy you want to follow, okay, who works for VEASAN, or follow him on social media, or read his books, getting ready for the draft, how you put teams together, it's Michael Lombardi. Michael, man, you've been more than gracious with your time. Thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Thank you, Doug.
Pleasure is all ours. Thoroughbred racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that's implementing comprehensive reforms. And the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep the athletes safe. To learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Shortly after the show, our podcast is going up. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to check out the podcast. Just search Doug Gottlieb wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review the podcast as well. Again, search Doug Gottlieb wherever you get your podcast, and you'll see today's show posted right after we get off the air. Let's get to Dan Beyer in a game.
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan, what's the game today, bud?
Doug, the game today is...
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
All right, big deal, little deal, or no deal. That 7 of the 8 NBA playoff games really weren't close at the end this weekend.
Big deal. Big deal from the standpoint of you're trying to build up. And, you know, we talked about this for a while in terms of Caitlin Clark and those games. And the challenge of the WNBA is, you know, you're basically going away from a month. And then you're going to be back. Well, the good thing about those, the women's games that brought so many people was they were close games, and people often mistaken close games for well-played games. They're not always.
Yep.
There was just the Lakers game wasn't really in doubt. The Knicks game wasn't in doubt. The Bucks game wasn't in doubt. Like, you just kind of go through. There's just like, did you see that game? And none of it. None of it. So outside of Lillard's first half performance, there wasn't a lot of did you see that sort of thing. Granted, only one game in all these series. But still, it when you got a standalone weekend and nothing else going on against it. Next weekend, you got the draft going against it. You start to get more options. I think it stinks for the sport because it doesn't develop the following that you thought.
You know, it's a really good point, and I brought up this point a couple of maybe a week or so ago, just off air with some people around here. I said April is set up like so great because you have, depending on when opening day is, but around that time, but you have Final Four, Masters. Now the NBA has first round of the playoffs, and then you have the draft. Like, the four weekends in April are huge, huge sporting events. And yeah, I feel like the NBA maybe didn't cash in. Maybe kind of like the Masters didn't cash in. You know, I'm a golf fan. I'll take that heat if need be, but it did feel that way. Along those same lines, Doug, big deal, little deal, or no deal, that all home teams won in game one.
That feels like a big deal, too.
I think so, too. I agree.
It feels like a big deal because we've diminished home court advantage. Like, well, it's that much written. Like, okay, well, it's kind of a big thing there. You know, because so many of these teams are like, well, you know, all you do is win one road game and the series flips. Like, that's not that easy.
Not the really old saying, what's the old saying? Like, the series doesn't begin until someone, you know, wins on the opposing team's court.
Correct. And that is a saying. I've never really understood
that. Pat Riley say that?
I'm not sure.
I'll confirm that was Riley.
I'll yeah. Confirm. But the point is then none of these series would have started because all of the home teams won. Correct. So there isn't as much drama. What I did think got lost maybe in the weekend, and this is big deal, little deal, and no deal number three, that Anthony Edwards was giving the business to Kevin Durant, who had to smile and take it on Saturday as the T-Wolves took care of the Suns.
Feels like a little deal only in that we didn't mention that KD had an efficient 31 in that game at all. I know that Anthony Edwards he's awesome. His energy and his trash talking, his smile is infectious. But I don't actually think that KD's performance is the reason the Suns lost. That's why it's a little deal.
I was giving them the business.
I liked how KD like knew that he had to sit there and take it. You know, they're going nuts. Ant's going nuts. And he smiled. That is the little bit of Durant that sometimes gets him in trouble on Twitter. But sure. I did like that. All right, big deal, little deal, or no deal that Arizona won't trade the fourth overall pick until they're on the clock, and maybe not even then, according to ESPN.
That feels like a big deal in that it makes me, one, want to watch, and two, want to understand kind of the process there, and like, no, like, you got to be ready to go if you want to make one of these deals.
Yes.
And your level of preparation is going to be really interesting. It's a challenging way to do business, but we'll see. Some people operate better that way.
And Monty Asenfort has also said, according to the report, that it gives them more leverage, yes, puts them in a better situation. And
potentially.
As long as they have someone that they want to take if a deal doesn't get done.
Right, that's the other part to it.
Yes.
After, in a week, if the Cardinals have a good draft, could I call the guy Awesome Fort?
Awesome Fort.
Yeah.
I think there are some other nicknames.
How long did
Kiki
come up with that one?
2 seconds. I'm just kidding.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal. And this is something that Mike Harmon and I talked about yesterday on Fox Sports Sunday. That the Bears haven't officially made Caleb Williams their pick yet. Something you just talked about with Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, that's why I left the possible open for it.
Yeah.
Feels like a little deal. I'm sure they want the pomp and circumstance of it being announced on the first pick of the draft. But yeah, we've kind of surrendered that thing, haven't we?
Side note, big deal, little deal, or no deal, that you corrected Michael Lombardi's chess knowledge on air. Was that... What went down there? What was the...
I actually got that from Jason in my ear. He couldn't remember the piece's name, and I was...
No, he called it a horse.
He called it a horse,
He
yes.
just called it a horse.
Do you know all the names of chess. Are you a chess player?
I play a ton of online chess. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I know what's the knight.
Of course. Dan, Are you familiar with all the pieces?
No.
The eight little ones in front are what?
Rooks? Pawns?
Pawn or rook. That the rooks would either okay. works. No. The rooks are the ones that move diagonal, aren't they?
No,
so
you're
there's
guys are
eight
all
wrong. Pawns, eight pawns, two bishops, two knights, two rooks,
the
one
rooks
queen.
The rooks are the castles that only go horizontal.
Okay.
The bishop goes diagonal.
The bishop goes diagonal. Bishop. And you got two knights. Knights are the horses. And then you have the two rooks and the one queen, one king.
Only piece on a chessboard that could jump spaces is the knight, or as Lombardi calls the horse. And I do want to confirm, Pat Riley says the series doesn't start until the home team loses.
All right. Big deal, little deal, or no deal, after Jerry Jones said that he didn't fear 2024 possibly being Dak's last as a Cowboy, that Dak Prescott responded that he also doesn't fear the possibility of not being a Cowboy after 2024.
Feels like a little deal because obviously they both have some sort of plan in place. Hey, we're going to talk about, but they also, you know, Jerry is a true believer in the Dak, and let's see what happens if you have another putrid playoff performance like you had this year. Like, it all sounds good. Sounds great. Hey, we'll re-up you. It'll all be good. No problem. Don't worry about it until it actually happens. And that's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Rick Bucher joins us next hour. We'll go through a bunch of the NBA stuff. But coming up next in the Doug Gottlieb Show, let's get into a little love and hate from the weekend. It was a weekend in which everyone forms an opinion on what they like, what they don't like. We'll lock in. You can join us at Gottlieb Show on Twitter, at Gottlieb Show on Instagram. What we love, what do we hate? That's next on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.